Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Feeding you holiday joy through a fire hose. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson, filling in for Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. If your pet's hurt in a car accident, Progressive pays up to $1,000 in vet expenses with free pet coverage. Visit Progressive.com. And Amber, we get to this point in the week. It is mercifully Wednesday, which, my oh my. Amber, when you were a kid, I have to imagine, it's kind of felt the same this week, where once you know Christmas is that light at the end of the tunnel here, every part of the week that you're waiting for, that feels like it is going by in an absolute crawl.
An absolute crawl. And it's the only purpose now of this week moving forward. Speaking of Christmas tradition, since we just did that, we had a tradition in my family where I was allowed to go over to my grandmother's house and open a gift on Christmas Eve.
Yes.
I very much appreciated being able to open the grandparents' present a day early on Christmas Eve, because as a kid, trying to wait all the way for Christmas, like you said, felt like an eternity. It was a feat.
Is there anyone out there, any family, at Mike Golic Jr., at Amber W790, who didn't do the Christmas appetizer like that? Like anyone who didn't get that night before little one to wet your whistle a bit here, the appetizer present? Renee, are you shaking your head saying you didn't get the night before?
Well, I mean, we opened them all up at 12 a.m.
Wait, at midnight?
At midnight?
Yeah.
So wait,
all of them. You were up at midnight thing. When you were a little kid, Renee?
Oh, all the time. Every Christmas, well, Christmas Eve going into Christmas at 12 a.m., opening up the gifts at 12 a.m.
So did I hear you under your breath claim that this was a Hispanic tradition?
I think it might just be, because I asked Shannon, he said he waited till the night, till the day of the 25th. You know, you wake up in the morning and then you open the gifts. We didn't wait. We just all out blitz.
I do kind of appreciate that. It's like, hey, we got all this pent up energy right now. I don't want to go to bed.
We party.
I would appreciate that as a kid. I don't know if I would appreciate that as a parent, because like, ain't nobody trying to stay up necessarily till 2 a.m. watching you open gifts. I feel like that your parents deserve a medal for that.
That is true, because once you open up the gifts, then the rite of passage is I've got to test out everything in that moment.
Absolutely.
Like no gift can go untried.
That's usually how it went. We would go to gifts opening would last until like 1 a.m., 1:30, depending how many people were there, and everybody would test it out. Everybody would, you know, show up the gift. Oh, yay, clap, 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 move on to the next one.
There is a bit of performance art in this, Amber, too, because a lot of times you've got other relatives present. Grandma doesn't always show up and show out in the gifts. She's a little bit removed from the situation, and so you really got to put on your best. Oh, wow, this is awesome. No, I can't wait to wear this to school.
My move when I was a kid was that I would stack all my gifts. So I was always the one who passed out all the gifts. And my family at some point would realize that I was passing out everyone's gifts and I was never opening any of my own. So then we'd get to the end of the present and then everyone would just have to sit there and watch me open, you know, 10 presents or whatever. They started finally eventually shutting that down and forcing me to open presents in the midst of it.
Welcome to Amber's One Woman Christmas Day show. She will be here to take you on a journey of sight and sounds through her presence and her presence alone. That is a power move if I have ever heard it. So at Amber W790, at Mike Golic Jr., we did our top five Christmas traditions, some of which include Amber's one-woman show. Feel free to give us yours on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. But we are at Wednesday. We said we are close. We are getting there towards the big day. But when we get to this point, we like to go back and remind you what we've been through and what we might have missed already.
Hey, Greg, why don't you go f*** your pants again?
That was like 8 years ago.
People don't forget. Forget.
People don't forget. I'm glad we always get that reminder. God, Superbad's such a great movie here. People don't forget what we heard from Bruce Arians the other day. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach had to answer some questions about Antonio Brown, their star wide receiver, whose latest suspension was linked to a fake COVID vaccination card that the league found out. Bruce Arians, who last year famously said when they brought their wide receiver over after a litany of off-the-field issues that he would have one strike and then he was out of here. When Bruce was asked about it, here's what he had to say.
You did bring back Antonio Brown after saying that he screws up one time and he's done. So what made you decide to give him another chance?
Well, the history has changed since that statement. You know, a lot of things went on last year that I was very proud of him. And I made a decision that this was best for our football team.
What was the decision-making process for you like, knowing that some people might go back to those comments you made publicly about Brown and say, wait a minute, hasn't this guy had enough chances?
I could give a what they think. The only thing I care about is this football team and what's best for us.
No one's surprised because it's Bruce Arians, Amber, but I kind of wish more coaches would just say that truth, right? I'm here to win football games. This person's going to help us win football games regardless of what they've said or done.
He said that a lot of things happened last year that he was proud of him. He could have inserted a lot of things happened last year. He caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl. I'm proud of him because he scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl. And that's exactly what has changed here is that we need him. And now we extra need him because Chris Godwin just went down with an injury. And we're all trying to, you know, win another Super Bowl. Like, that's the reality of it. What's funny is even before he said that statement, and let's not forget in the vein of the segment here, before he even said that, he at one point said, no, Antonio Brown is not going to be a member of our team. He wouldn't fit into this locker room. So he said that first. Then he brought him in and said, you know, one strike and he's out. And now it's changed again. But hey, we don't forget.
Double people don't forget when it comes to Antonio Brown's tenure with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Canty and Golic Jr. here. This one, courtesy of the NHL. The NHL and the NHL Players Association have come to an agreement to not participate in the 2022 Winter Olympic Men's Hockey Tournament in Beijing. The NHL put out a statement saying that it respects and admires the desires of NFL players to represent their countries and participate in a best-on-best tournament. Accordingly, we have waited as long as possible to make this decision while exploring every available option to enable our players to participate in the 2022 Winter Games. Unfortunately, Amber, a lot of this has to do with the COVID-19-related developments. 50 games already postponed, a lot of which will have to be made up during that same window. Couple that with fears of the spread of the current variant, and this is a move that seems pretty prudent.
A lot of international players in the NHL, a lot of guys, I'm sure, who are disappointed that they're not going to be able to represent their country in the Olympics. But you can understand why the NHL is making this move. Like every other league, they are navigating it best they can in real time through a global pandemic, and we're seeing the results of that.
Now, this last one is among the more bizarre things that I heard this weekend. Most of this waited till Wednesday because I had to figure out how to actually process this. But I'm just going to read you the headline and you guys can make your assumptions and decisions for yourself. Jackson State linebacker Abdul Malik McLean allegedly defrauded the government of hundreds of thousands of dollars in COVID relief benefits. Abdul Malik McLean, 22 years old, allegedly orchestrated a scheme with other players while attending USC in 2020. He was arrested by federal authorities Monday and accused of trying to fraudulently obtain those hundreds of thousands of dollars in COVID-related unemployment benefits. He pleaded not guilty to 10 counts of mail fraud and 2 counts of aggravated identity theft in U.S. District Court in Los Angeles and is scheduled to appear in court on February 15th. Amber, you are the only one on this show with a legal background here. None of this sounds good to me.
It certainly does. I don't think you need to have a legal background to know that this thing does not sound good. He allegedly submitted and sought almost $1 million in benefits here. I guess over 200,000 of that was actually paid out. He has a brother as well who's been suspended by USC in connection with this. Those mail fraud allegations there and counts are no joke. I mean, they carry up to 20 years in prison each, plus the aggravated identity theft, which carries a 2-year mandatory prison sentence consecutively. So problematic what he potentially could be facing. I believe that Jackson State has already removed them from their online roster.
Yeah, no, that is a very easy way to not be on the team anymore, is to have the government here trying to go out here and get you popped for that. So those are the things you might have missed over the course of a long week. Getting ready for Christmas and the holidays around here. It is People Don't Forget on Canty and Golic Jr. Coming up next, though, we finally wrapped up Week 15 in the NFL. We'll give you our top tiers in the NFC next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're brought to you by Goodyear, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. NFL Week 15 finally came to an end. We did not think it was possible, but last night we finally managed to pull it off. After a couple of games that were postponed till Monday and Tuesday, we had the last of them, an all-NFC affair with the Rams getting a 20-10 win over the Seahawks and the Eagles getting a 27-17 win over the Washington football team. And Amber, with all due respect to the Eagles, I think my focus with that team is largely on the future, right? Nick Sirianni laying the foundation here, them finding out if Jalen Hurts could be a viable option for them going forward. Is that a team you look at as one having a realistic chance to not only make the postseason potentially, but to actually win a game there?
I mean, I look at them as, of course, having a realistic chance of making the postseason, also because they have the easiest schedule here down the stretch. So, not only, of course, did they help themselves last night, but I do think that they could go ahead and get into that wild card here over the next few games. That being said, I don't really have any hope that they will make some sort of run in the playoffs. No, I do think that it's a conversation about that team moving forward and the future of that team. I think it's a good team. I think they looked great last night, and we were high on Jalen Hurts. We talked about it earlier in the show, but I don't think that they're good enough as currently constructed to make any sort of noise in the playoffs.
No, I'm with you. Like, when we do these tiers all the time for NFL teams, especially at the beginning of the season, it's based a lot on projection. Now we can kind of look and see who these teams really are. The Eagles are a good team, and they're a team that I think has done what's a difficult thing with the first-year head coach to figure out and then execute on your identity down the stretch. They've become one of the best, if not statistically the best, rushing teams in football down the stretch of the season. They got healthy at the right spots. They leaned into that, and their play caller finally started to figure that out. But to me, they're far down on the tiers of teams I think can do something. So looking on the top end, Amber, as we look at the NFC in particular here, how would you kind of structure the teams on the top end? Because I think on the other side, the Rams got a win that may not be super impressive. We know the NFC West is kind of weird anytime those teams get together. So the final score, not usually always indicative. But where would you try to slot the Rams into the playoff picture as to who can go and actually win a Super Bowl based on what you've seen?
I'm a little higher on the Rams coming off of last night, what they did. I'm not taking anything away from them. I understand that they were playing a decimated Seahawks team, and the Rams did get, of course, some of their starters back. They were still missing a lot of guys. They'd still gone through a really difficult week with COVID. It was them who had the 22 players or whatever it was originally on that COVID list, and so that's why that game had to be rescheduled in the first place. So I'm not taking anything away from what they did. Their defense looked great last night. Stafford looked better as the game went on. I think it's a good Rams team. I'm not putting them in the top tier of the NFC. If I was doing my own Amber Wilson NFC tiers, I think they would look like this. I'd have a third tier down there with the Eagles team that we already discussed, along with the Vikings, the Saints. Washington would not be in that third tier for me. I'm not high on them. I understand they were decimated by COVID as well. They'd probably be kind of with the everybody else fourth tier. My second tier would have the Cowboys, Cardinals, Rams, and 49ers. I think the Rams are a very good team coming off of last night. I also think the 49ers are a sneaky good team. I think the Cowboys, I wouldn't be shocked if the Cowboys, as many offensive struggles as they have had, especially lately, I wouldn't be shocked if we saw the Cowboys in a Super Bowl-type scenario. Or even the Cardinals, the team. Now, given, I don't know if I believe the Cardinals have enough experience to get it done right now, but obviously we know what they were doing in the beginning of the season, even if the wheels have kind of fallen off here towards the end of the season. I think all of those teams are good teams. I don't think any of us should be floored if they're able to get something done in the playoffs, but none of those teams are the Packers or the Bucks, which would be my top tier. I mean, if I was a betting woman and you made me put all my money on teams, I would feel much more comfortable in putting all my money on an Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady, and then just like some of my money on a Dak Prescott or a Kyler Murray.
It's so interesting, Amber, looking at this now, because as I sit here, I was generally, especially when we talked before the show, I was with you on pretty much all of those tiers here, specifically that second tier group, right? Because Green Bay, I think, has separated themselves. I think that's the best team in the NFL right now. I think they've shown their ability to weather injury, to move around that lineup there. And as long as Aaron Rodgers is out there, and we know that's a big if, especially in a world full of COVID-19. But again, assuming what we've seen consistently, him out there on the field despite that toe injury, I feel comfortable with them in the number one spot. Tampa, also on reputation and what I believe they can be. Right now, dealing with some injury, some tribulation at some skill position spots. Leonard Fournette going to likely miss the rest of the regular season. We know Chris Godwin out for the entire season. That, to me, makes me think more about what you said yesterday about the Dallas Cowboys. If there was one team you could talk me into making a Tier 1 squad, it would be the Dallas Cowboys. Now, I have very real concerns about some of the injuries that we've seen up front on their offensive line. But the defense has become, in some ways, dominant. The turnovers worry me because that's not always the most predictive. But you brought up yesterday, just because they are winning with a different identity than we predicted at the start of the season, probably shouldn't have us downgrading them as much as we do. So I could flirt with them as a Tier 1 team just because the offense has still been good. It just hasn't been what we saw through weeks 1 through 4, which is basically a buzzsaw that paced the league.
I think some of the analysis when we talk about the Cowboys is, are we overrating things or underrating things, blowing things out of proportion with the Cowboys? And the answer to that question is always yes, because it's the Dallas Cowboys. And that's what we do in terms of coverage with the Cowboys. That being said, of course, their offense has actually been somewhat unimpressive here in the last few weeks. They did manage to just score 21 points against one of the league's, if not the league's worst defense. And I understand that Dak hasn't looked necessarily like he's firing on all cylinders, but does he need to? Like, that's the question I would pose to you, because I was reading Rob Phillips of Cowboys.com. He had some stats in there that I thought was interesting, where the Cowboys, they have 30 takeaways on defense. Okay, that doesn't necessarily obviously guarantee a championship by any means. However, he broke it down by what 30 takeaways means. He tallied up the number of teams who have reached 30 takeaways since 2000. That's 140 teams. Of those, 100 have made the playoffs. Obviously, that's a very good batting average there of almost 72%. And quite a few of those teams have ended up making the Super Bowl. At least one team with 30-plus takeaways has made the Super Bowl in the last 15 of the last 20 seasons. So that would have one believe that the old adage still reigns true, that defense actually does at least get to championships, if not win championships, and the Dallas Cowboys certainly have that.
Every coach who has ever sat in front of a team and loudly uttered the cliche, "We've got to win the turnover battle here today," is standing up and applauding both you and that writer that you referenced there. So those are just one of the ways that we can look at the current landscape in the playoffs. Coming up next, though, we'll ask another one of our friends about the Cowboys offense and what their production means for them down the stretch of the season and heading into the postseason. We'll do that after this word from AT&T. All right, guys, holiday season. If there are friends and family members you haven't talked to in a while, don't worry. It's never too late to reconnect. To help, AT&T is offering deals on the latest smartphones. It's not complicated. Everybody deserves something new. So, AT&T is giving new and existing customers their best deals on every smartphone, even the latest ones. Restrictions and exceptions may apply. Visit att.com for details. Back after this, Canty and Golic Jr., ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson filling in for Chris Canty today. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests like Kimberly A. Martin, ESPN NFL reporter and co-host of the First Take, Her Take podcast, join us now on the Goodyear Hotline. And before we get to any football things here, Kimberly, I have been handed an urgent and horrifying news bulletin. That you're out
you're
on
so
the holidays.
Foul, Sam. You're so foul for that song. But so foul. But yes, you know what? I'm going to let my Grinch flag fly. I'm not ashamed of it. I was that kid in school that was like, in kindergarten, like, there's no such thing as Santa Claus. Like, what are we doing? And I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm just
Hell
not.
No. Just to be clear, not, PSA I'm, out there for any kids listening to the car, Kimberly is totally joking. Santa Claus is still
totally
coming
joking.
To town here. Make sure you act right here. All of that. But I understand this is just Kimberly being ha-ha funny here on the radio waves.
Yes, so ha-ha funny. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm not big into it. Because you know what's gotten me upset as an adult? You guys, all of you want to fast forward to Christmas. Can we enjoy November? Can we enjoy Thanksgiving? Like the Christmas carols and all that stuff in the malls in November, that irks me. Mariah Carey, like, I'm sick of the song by like November
29th. This is blasphemy.
You're coming from Mariah?
Song. It's a great song. It's a great song. But gosh, can we, like, you can't even get to December 15th without hearing Mariah on, like, It's a lot. So wait, no, I'm not a big Christmas person. I'm sorry, guys.
I do have a holiday follow-up question then. So what is Thanksgiving then your favorite holiday? Like what do you get in the spirit
that
for?
Should, yes. That should be, that's the on the Mount Everest of like, that's my Kilimanjaro. Like Thanksgiving is that thing for me. So everything else sort of pales in comparison.
I will say the best thing.
Is that crazy?
Chris Canty, who's again normally the co-host on this show, huge proponent of Thanksgiving. The one thing I will give Thanksgiving that he brought up that I think I have felt the most this week is you do not have the stress of gift buying associated with Thanksgiving. There are no expectations. You just show up and eat.
That's the thing. Like people are literally on lines for 2 hours trying to buy something for a loved one. The person knows we love them, but it's like, oh, gotta get something for Cousin Carol. And it's like, it's just too much. It's too much stress. We should just be sitting down eating, watching sports. Like that to me, like the whole stress of gift buying and gift wrapping, forget it. I just can't.
Damn,
maybe because I always work on the holidays. I don't know. Maybe that's it. That's why I'm bitter.
You know what? We have plenty of time. We can all go through that with our therapist here right now. I got some unanswered questions that I can get to on that too. But we have Kimberly Martin here, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And wherever we fall on the holidays here, Kimberly, we do need your expertise on some of the things that we're seeing in the NFL. Because Amber and I were just talking about the NFC top end of the playoff tiers right now. The Cowboys are a tough team for us to handicap because their identity shifted so much through the course of this season. So looking at that team based on some of the offensive issues they've had, where is your trust at with them? Where should it be down the stretch of the season?
So I trust the Cowboys because they got the talent. Like this time of year, it's what does your roster look like? How healthy are you? And I know Dak and Jerry had said Dak is fine. I don't know if I 100% buy that, only because his numbers dipped as soon as he came back from the calf. But overall, I trust Dak. When you look at these teams, I trust this roster. Like this defense, they're tops in top three categories. Like if this offense is scuffling, even if sometimes we don't always have faith that Mike McCarthy is going to put his team in the best position to get 7 points, not three, in the ozone layer, whatever he likes to call it. You still trust their roster, and you trust this division as dangerous as the Eagles might be and catch you on an off day. They're still the team to beat in the NFC East. This is a Dallas team that I think is capable of making it to the title game. And I think anything short of that would be a real big disappointment.
Mike and I were just doing our own NFC tiers, and we both had Dallas in that second tier, where we also wouldn't be surprised if they make it to a title game, but we wouldn't necessarily put all of our money on it. If we were forced to do that, for us, our top tiers would have been the Packers or the Bucks. How do you feel about that? Are they standalone teams, do you feel like, as well?
So in the NFC, I think the Bucks and there are no elite teams across the board to me, which makes the playoff time really interesting. I think the Bucs and the Packers are the two teams that I think they're the best teams, overall teams that you trust. Like, okay, I trust the Packers the most. I think the Bucs are the team I think the Bucs are probably the team that if I'm Green Bay, like the Bucs are the biggest threat to me. I know, like we talked a lot on Get Up, like I was on First Take. We talked all day about the Rams, like, the Rams are a team, again, on paper, this is a team built to make the Super Bowl. But there's been so much inconsistency. I think I love the fact that there is no elite squad. I guess Green Bay would be the closest to me. But then again, any given Sunday, like I know that's a cliche and we say it, but this season in particular, any team, like if the Bucs are not the one seed and they play the Saints, and the Saints make it somehow and they have to face off, like Tom Brady's not going to be feeling great about that matchup either. So I love the parody or the confusion and the chaos of this playoff time. It's pretty cool.
It's felt like a little bit of both of those things as we're talking to Kimberly A. Martin, ESPN NFL reporter on the Goodyear Hotline. And normally we've associated the NFC with a little more clarity than its AFC counterpart this season, but Kimberly, as soon as we get to week 16 now, lo and behold, the Kansas City Chiefs, number one atop the AFC at this point. Would that be a clear-cut favorite in that conference for you, or is it a little bit of a mess like the NFC?
So the AFC is a mess as well, but it's funny. Everybody's trying to bury the Chiefs. And again, you look at QBs, you look at rosters. This time of year, do you have a quarterback that you can trust to put the game on his back, to put the team on his back and win the game for you? Patrick Mahomes, I don't care how erratic, how many interceptions he's thrown, at the end of the day, he's still Patrick Mahomes. Like, when the season started, we were talking about him like he's one of the best to ever play this position, right? And you still have to feel confident, even though this week aside, with their COVID issues with Kelsey and Tyreek Hill and everybody, this is still a team nobody – a few weeks ago, I was talking to people around the league. They were saying nobody wants to face the Chiefs, even when they were scuffling. Nobody wants to go to Arrowhead. If Arrowhead is similar to a Lambo where it's like you, when it's cold, when it's January, you don't want to be going to these places where the fans are like no other. They're very special venues, and the Chiefs are just – they're loaded. And if you can – and they're lights out in December and January. So – that's a team where I think it's them and sort of everybody else.
It certainly seems to have found its way back to that very comfortable place after a long, winding road through the first half or so of the season. Kimberly, despite our differences of opinion around the holiday season, we appreciate you joining us on the show today. We hope you have happy holidays and they treat you as well as possible, even though you don't like them.
Thank you, guys. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, all.
Merry Christmas. Kimberly A. Martin, ESPN NFL reporter. You can catch her on Get Up, First Take, all over ESPN, giving you great insight and info on the NFL. Coming up next, though, she mentioned quarterbacks and rosters here. We've got one team that continues to spin the wheel at the most important position in football. Why we might have to just break the damn thing soon, next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Austin Power to the King, DMX. With a holiday classic, Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Speaking of Christmas, by the way, we asked people. Our producer, Renee, talked about his family the night before. A lot of us have done, like Amber mentioned, the night before, little appetizer of a present that you get to open before Christmas Day here. The Christmas Eve one holds you over a little bit so you're not too antsy going to bed. And we thought everyone did that. Sarah Spain, co-host of Spain and Fitz that you can hear after us from 7 to 9 Eastern, tweeted at us on the Dr. Pepper Twitter line, "We didn't do the Christmas Eve present. When I heard about it later in life, I was blown away. I can't imagine what a feeling of betrayal that must feel like, Amber, to know that your family somehow hid this truth from you."
My father told a story when we were together yesterday, where my father's in his 80s, and he said that he still remembers, he has very vivid memories of how terrible it was on Christmas. He wasn't allowed to open gifts until his grandmothers came over, and apparently they were late wakers later in life and like took their sweet old time getting over to his house. And he said he's still, like, all these years later, he still has agita from things that happened to him, you know, 70-plus years ago, where you're waiting for your grandparents to come over, and that his parents, and I guess there was some period of time where his parents wouldn't even let him do the Christmas morning stockings until they showed up, and that was just entirely unreasonable. He's been scarred for life. These things matter. Hopefully Sarah Spain isn't scarred, but I will admit that getting a little appetizer the night before Christmas is really helpful to kind of smooth things over with the kids and get them to wait.
I always felt like it was good luck if I got just like an okay gift the night before. Like, I didn't want to, like, you know, waste the good shot, like the, you know, wait, we wasted the good surprise on you. Like, I don't want the best gift the night before. I want to know, all right, we started off strong. We came out here. We had a good opening drive here. We got maybe 3 points on the board. I'll settle for a field goal the night before, Amber.
You just want something, anything, really, the night before. It doesn't have to be great.
No, you want points coming out of the drive. You don't need a touchdown just yet. So keep those coming at Mike Golic Jr., at AmberW790 on the Dr. Pepper Twitter line. Your top five holiday traditions, as that was our Christmas list today. But the Carolina Panthers, Amber, this is a strange headline today. Carolina Panthers head coach Matt Rhule said that Sam Darnold, former quarterback there who was benched, has been injured for parts of this season, will play in Sunday's home finale against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, though Cam Newton will remain the starting quarterback. Amber, has the way that they've handled the quarterback situation down there in Carolina made you doubt the long-term future of Matt Rhule?
Yes, and this is certainly not helping. Now, we know bringing in Cam Newton was a hugely popular move amongst Panthers fans, and that's one of the reasons that they did it. It was a feel-good story. It kind of brought pep back into their step at a time where I think fans were deflated, of course, because of what happened there with Sam Darnold. And from that perspective, it was a good move. The problem with it is if you're not sticking with Cam now here down, by the way, a very, very difficult stretch that they have scheduling-wise left on their schedule, and another losing season, it seems like it's going to pan out to be here for the Carolina Panthers. If now you decide to change course again, and then what happens when you're moving forward into next season? Is Cam Newton going to be sitting on your bench? Is Sam Darnold's going to be starting? What are fans going to be thinking about that? And it feels like don't bring back Cam if you're not going to give him a proper send-off here in Carolina here at some point. Like, we're going to go through the same thing that we already went through with Cam Newton, who is beloved by that fan base. The reality is, though, with Sam Darnold, I mean, they have him under contract next year. Not exactly a great trade market, I would imagine, right now for Sam Darnold either. A difficult situation. And yes, of course, Matt Rhule is also in all of this trying to save his own job as well.
Yeah, that's the kind of weird subtext in all of this is Matt Rhule came over and got one of those longer deals with that kind of burn year at the beginning built in. We've seen it for Brian Flores and others where they knew down in Carolina this was going to take a while, and they took a bet on Sam Darnold that didn't cash. But you mentioned the stretch coming up here. They have got the Bucs, the Saints, and then on the road at the Bucs to finish up here. They are 0-for with Cam Newton as the starter, and he's looked bad. Like, Amber, I don't really fault them for getting Sam Darnold out there. He's the only quarterback that's going to be right now contractually on the roster at this point next season, and Cam Newton hasn't done enough to warrant that. We've seen their other backup coming in and out of the game because of how he's performed. But all of this has sown a lot of doubt in me. The way we've seen Matt Rhule handle publicly criticizing his quarterbacks for some decision-making, what a lot of people have viewed as throwing them under the bus in some of these key spots, all of this has gone from a college coach that was a great jump starter and program builder at every stop along the way to me looking at this going, well, yeah, it looks like he could be another coach that goes through this process and realizes, hey, if we miss out on the big swing, and we know they were one of the teams flirting with the idea or at least rumored to be in the Deshaun Watson market at the trade deadline, that short of being able to bring in a bona fide stud like that, someone who can play the position at that high level, I have very real concerns that David Tepper, who's proved very aggressive at every step of the way here, might just decide, hey, I got to mix up the bag here at head coach as well pretty soon.
Rhule was very quick to throw Cam Newton under the bus after that loss to the Buffalo Bills, and Cam didn't play well. But the reality is that whole feel-good moment we had about bringing Cam back to the franchise, that sort of just glossed over the real problems there. And then they were exposed again with the Panthers. Like, they have problems with that team beyond just the quarterback position. Some of that is on these quarterbacks and how they have been playing, but certainly not all of it. It was a feel-good story. It has not worked out. But as it moves forward, also how Matt Rhule's handling things doesn't appear to be working out.
You've already fired your offensive coordinator and Joe Brady. You've already changed quarterbacks multiple times. Eventually, the buck is going to stop with the head coach in that situation. Coming up next, though, lots of changes to college football and the rules that might dictate the outcome of the college football playoff coming up very soon on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.